Well, good morning. Good to see you. As always, I'm glad that you are here. We will be using last week's handout since we did not finish it. We will be in chapter one more week, just this week, and then we will be moving on. For me, the book of 1 John is a series that I kind of wish we were all sitting around the table or sitting around a circle in the fire in the living room talking and discussing about. That's how special this is. 1 John is a tremendously special book. And, you know, it's no surprise that over the years I have seen some churches, when they get a new member or a new believer, some churches will have a discipleship class, can't even say it, discipleship class, and it will be composed of the book of 1 John. They go through the book of 1 John. And then there are, over the years, I've heard of pastors who, when they go to a new church, his first series in that church is a book study of 1 John. It's a very special book because it talks about the sincerity of who we are as believers in Christ. 1 John hits at the center of the heart on what it means to be a Christian. Are we real? Are we sincere? What is our motive? What is our intention at whatever we do? I've got such good memories. All those years Brother Strunk came to us and all those years there were ample opportunities to talk before and after church and while we were eating and all this, and he was always talking about motive and intentions. What is the intention of, you know, something might have happened at Blanding, or something might have happened here, or something happened somewhere that he was in another church or something, and it would all go down to, well, we don't know, because we don't know the intention or the motivation that was behind that. And that's what 1 John is all about. And so today we're going to read for the last time the entire chapter, and then we're going to go down to verse number 5 and try to finish it out. And then we'll, time permitting, be able to probably go into the introduction of next week's lesson, Lord willing. And if I don't get too tongue-twisted and go down too many rabbit trails, maybe we can do that. So read with me. I got to turn there first, but read with me. 1 John chapter 1, one more time. And John says in verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, or the mercy seat, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this chance to go back into 1 John and just glean some revelations, glimpses of truth, Lord, about what it means to be in the family of God. I pray that you would remove my stuttering and remove any hindrances that may occur in the next 25-30 minutes, Lord, that your word will be honored and that you will be glorified in the things that are said and the things that are thought. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll start in verse number 5. This is a slight overlap because we went to verse number 7 last week, but I think it's important to continue the thought. Now, the first four verses was a prologue, and we found out that two of the five reasons that John wrote this book were in those first four verses, that we can have fellowship with the Lord, and he wrote that we can be joyful, that we can be full of joy. And so in verse number 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So he's brought the subject of fellowship up, and the only way you can have fellowship with somebody is to walk with them, to share things in common with them. And so here in verse number 5, we find ourselves in a little bit of a jam. In your handout from last week at the very top on page 2, it says, "Light dispels the darkness, and when God is called light, it speaks of the glory and wonder of God and his purity and his perfection." Here, we're supposed to have fellowship with the God that is light, and in him is no darkness at all, but we find ourselves in a little bit of a dilemma. What is the dilemma, you might ask? Well, light reveals flaws and impurities. As we said, if you have one of those lighted mirrors and you look at your reflection in that lighted mirror, you see that there's this or this or this that needs to be fixed, and that light is what brought that out and reminded you that that needed to be done. Now, how in the world can we, this is in your handout, who have these fleshly, imperfect, sinful bodies, going to have fellowship or have things in common with the God who is light, perfect, just, holy? Paul in Romans admitted this was a problem for him. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Boy, that's some words, isn't it? He says in Romans 3, verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." He says in Romans 8, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind," and that's our fleshly mind, our fleshly mind is enmity against God. It's friction, it's tension, it's thinking the opposite that God thinks of. Well, I just heard something up there that I don't normally hear up there. We're nothing like God. We're on the opposite extreme of who God is. Even God himself said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. You can't think like I think. Your ways are not my ways." So how are we going to have fellowship with somebody like God and we're who we are? And on page 3, the second paragraph in your handout says, so in verse 5, John presents to us the dilemma. And then in the remainder of these verses, he describes three ways that people use to have fellowship with God. But only one way that will work. And we looked at the first one just for a few minutes last week. The first way is found in verse number 6. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him." Now, look up here for just a minute. This is something that we say. It's not actually happening, but we just say it. Don't we do that sometimes? We just say things. I do. You do too. Let's just all admit it. John says, "If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You know, over the years, the Apostle John has come to be known as for whatever reason, a soft-spoken man. He's always talking about love and fellowship and good feelings. But I tell you what, 4 times in these next 9 verses, he talks about us lying, calling us a liar, saying that we're deceiving ourselves. And so I see in John not so much that gentle soul that we've come to know him to be, but what Luke called him in the gospel. When Jesus called him, he said John and his brother were sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. So I think John has got a conviction about this thing here. He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're a bunch of liars, and we do not do the truth." If we want to have fellowship with God, if we desire to walk with Him, then we'll have to walk in the light of the Word of God, because He is light. And if there's unconfessed sin in our life, then we're not walking with Him. These are tough words to hear. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but have that unconfessed sin in our life, John's pretty blunt about it. He calls us a liar. He's saying we're being deceptive. Now, that's not a very nice thing. I'm not saying that. John's saying that. But look what he says in the next verse. Such a sweet verse. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, notice what's telling about this verse is that John doesn't say, but if we walk according to the light. Or he doesn't say, but if we walk as if we're in the light. No, he says, if we walk in the light. If we walk in the very light of God's Word, because God is light, then we have fellowship one with another. It's possible for me and you to get along. Isn't that great, Georgina? It's great when we get along and love each other. It's possible that that will happen, and it's possible we have fellowship with our Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. As I said last week, that word cleanseth is an ongoing present tense. Just keeps on cleansing us. You know why I need that, Linda? Because I just keep on sinning. If I keep on sinning, then I need to be keeping on being cleansed. It's not good English, but it's the truth. You see, as your handout says, the Word of God will show us we are sinners, and we cannot bring God down to our level. His light will point out the darkness in our lives. The important thing is not how we walk, but what? Where we walk. It's not how we walk. It's not us looking at a bunch of lists and rules. It's us living and walking in the light of God's Word. The important thing is not how we walk, but where we walk. In fact, the how is not even possible if the where in the light of God's Word is not happening. And if we do that, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. What a wonderful, wonderful truth in this passage of Scripture. And so, verse number 7 is the very opposite of verse number 6. That verse said, if we say we're walking with God and that we're fellowshipping with Him, but we're walking in darkness, then we're liars. But this verse says, if we walk in the light just like He is in the light, and how is that found? That's found in the Word of God. Then we have fellowship one with another. What a great concept this is that we find John telling us about. And then on page 3, about halfway down in your handout, it says, so the first way that John describes fellowship with God is by bringing God down to our level. And verse 7 tells us that it just won't work. But in verse 8, John gives us another way to have fellowship with God. And we'll find that that just won't work either. He says in verse 8, if we say, now that's not really, it's not something that's actually happening, we're just saying it is. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now this is just cut and dried. In fact, John used the same reasoning in verse 8 as he did verse 6. The second way to try to have fellowship with God is to try to bring us up to the level of God by saying we're on the same plane as Him and that we have no sin. And John just shoots that one right out of the gate. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, God won't be deceived about it. You know that. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 says, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Joanne, He knows what I'm thinking right now. He knows what I'm about to say. He knows my motive. He knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. We won't deceive him. And quite frankly, we won't deceive each other, because who we are inside will ultimately come out, and you'll be able to see that. That's what Jesus says in Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what's going to come out of my life and what's going to come out of my mouth is what's in my heart eventually. No, I won't deceive God, and we won't deceive each other, but the Bible says that we deceive ourselves. You know, that's pretty easy to do. We just sugarcoat the matter. We just we claim some sense of reality that just isn't there, which we can do from time to time. And so he says this second way of saying that you're just like God, that's the second way, and it's not going to work. But at the bottom of page 3 of your handout says, but then we come down to our text in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this is the fourth if that we've seen in these last four verses. But now this is the right if. This is the answer right here. The first two ways of trying to have fellowship with God, we just found wouldn't work. We can't bring God down to our level. We can't bring ourselves up to God's level. But here, he tells us what we can do if we confess our sins. Now, what does that word confess mean? Well, it simply means to agree or say the same thing. That's what it means. When God's word tells us something in our life is sin, then we agree with him that it's sin. That's the top sentence on page 4. And when we confess our sin to God, then we're agreeing with him about what he says. And in return, we turn from our sin. We agree with him. And when we do that, we've agreed with him and said the same thing about our sin as he has said about it. And when we do that, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, or the way I like to think about it, because it's in the present tense, that verse just keeps on cleansing. He keeps on cleansing because we keep on sinning, and when we keep on sinning, we have to keep on confessing, and he just keeps on cleansing. Isn't that great? Thank God for that. I'd be in a mess if that wasn't the case. And what allows us to enjoy and appreciate what Jesus did in verse 7 is our confession in verse 9. And when we do that, as your handout says, the relationship between the child and the father is restored. It's made good again. He's a father.